This title, Stranger Things, is an appropriate title for our sermon series that we are in. The times we are in right now with what is happening in our world is something that we've never experienced before, and it is indeed strange. But I take comfort in Ecclesiastes, where the writer said, "There is nothing new under heaven." And I know that God has seen all the events that will take place, and we can be comforted knowing that we are in his hands. So looking at the strange things that Jesus said during his ministry is a way for us to get to understand his life and his ministry a little bit more clearly. John has all these amazing yet strange stories, but he ends his book, or near the end of the book in chapter 20, he gives his purpose. "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." Digesting these stories helps us to know Jesus a little bit better. But ultimately, it is John's hope that we would believe in Jesus. It is so interesting to see how Jesus related to people throughout this book. We have seen how he related to Nicodemus and how there needed to be a spiritual rebirth. We met the woman at the well who was in desperate need of a life change, but more than that, she was desperately needing to be known fully and to be loved fully. And this past Sunday, we heard about Jesus feeding 5,000 people, and that miracle was motivated by his love for the crowds. So pretty crazy things happening in John. This evening, the strange saying of Jesus comes from John 6:25. You can open up your Bible at home, look at your Bible app, or the words will be on the screen for you. John 6:25 through 35. "When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' And Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' And Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.' So they said to him, 'Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?' 'Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Jesus then said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst.'" Before we dig into this passage a little more, let's pray together. Lord God, your word is powerful and your word is life-changing. And we ask tonight that you would help us to understand your word more clearly. Lord, that we would be able to see what you desire to show us in your word. In your name, Jesus, amen. So, this evening, the strange saying of Jesus is at the very end of the passage. He said, "I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." This is a strange thought. Bread that would fill you up forever. You would never be hungry or thirsty again. I would say yes to a deal like that. And the people were interested in an idea of a bread that never runs out. Bread is an important part of nearly every culture. In our culture, for me personally, I can remember a time when bread was pretty important. As my husband and I were preparing for our wedding, we wanted grandma's famous dinner rolls to be part of the dinner. And so we went to Ben's grandma and we asked her if she would be willing to make us 500 dinner rolls, 500 small loaves of bread. Well, she said yes, and we would come to her with a 5-pound bag of flour, and we would leave with another bag of dinner rolls prepared and ready to go. Bread is important in all families and in all cultures. And in our current world situation, there are people all over the world that are in need of food and daily provisions. Last week, I went to the store looking for a loaf of bread, and the shelves were empty. Bread that never runs out sounds pretty good right now. And this is happening all over our world. We can maybe relate to what Jesus was saying. The saying of Jesus came right after one of his most well-known miracles. It's the miracle that Andy shared about on Sunday, when Jesus fed the 5,000 people. And I think that it is no coincidence that Jesus used this strange saying, "I am the bread of life," so shortly after that miracle. During Jesus' day, there was a physical need of hunger as well. And Jesus often looked at people and their physical needs with a great compassion. He met physical needs of people first before speaking to their spiritual needs. For people to hear Jesus say, "You will never be hungry again," that would have gotten their attention, especially from the man who had just given them a meal the day before, a meal that fed upwards to 10,000 people, including men, women, and children, and there were leftovers to spare. They might have been thinking, could he really be able to give us a bread that would fill us up forever? How is that even possible? And because Jesus was doing miracles like this, people were flocking to him. Just before that miracle, as he was beginning to be so well known, he had been healing the sick and feeding people, this crowd was following him because they wanted to see the signs that he was doing. He was trying to get away for some quiet time with his disciples. And there he was up on the mountainside having a life group. And they saw the crowd in the distance approaching. And he asked his disciples, "What can we give them?" And he looked at them with great compassion, knowing that they had come a long ways and knowing it was because of him that they were there. Well, long story short, the miracle happened. The people had their fill. They saw a sign. They had witnessed a miracle themselves. And that is what they'd been seeking all along. They wanted to see miracles. They wanted to see signs. And all of this occurred just before he said, "I am the bread of life." Well, the next day, the disciples had crossed over to the Sea of Galilee, back to Capernaum, and miraculously, Jesus arrived on the other side without a boat. This same crowd who he had just fed was following him and seeking him again. They are back for more. And then they found him on the other side. They said, "How did you get over here? We didn't see a boat." Even after this miracle that they had just experienced, the people continued to see him as just another man, another human being. They didn't go beyond. They didn't see him on a spiritual level. They were only looking for what need he could meet for them next. I want to pause here and think about the people. These are the people that are flocking to him just because of miracles. And what can he do? And this is similar to how we relate to Jesus today. Are we only looking to him for what we can get out of the deal? Christians today are heading to churches on Sunday mornings. Now, I know our world is a little bit different now, but for years and years, we have been following the tradition of coming to our churches on a Sunday morning. We come with expectations of how is my church going to meet my needs today? Will there be coffee? Will there be snacks? Is this a breakfast Sunday? Now, you folks at the North Campus are really lucky because we at the South Campus have been missing out on breakfast Sundays for a whole year. I miss the pancakes and I miss the sausage, and I am quite jealous of you and the privilege that you have to have that breakfast Sunday and that fellowship together. Other things that we come with expectations for are nursery and kid services. And we think, you know, I could really use a break from my kids this week. If I could just leave them at the nursery, I wouldn't have to worry about them for just this short time. Then there's the music. Is the music this week gonna meet my needs? I sure hope we don't sing that song that we sang last week, because that verse is so repetitive and I cannot worship to music like this. And finally, we stop at the sermon and we say, I hope this sermon doesn't run long. Once that pastor starts talking, I feel like he is never going to stop. Well, as long as he doesn't go over our time, I'm okay. But I have things to do after church today. It is this take, take, take attitude. We are what's in it for me, Christians. And that is typical of many of us at this time in history. It might be different now as we are going into this online ministry and our perspectives may be changing. But if we look back at verse 30, the people said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? These people had just experienced a miracle. They were fed in a miraculous way. How did they so quickly forget what had happened? Or were they just in it to get something else? In many ways, we are flocking to the things that will meet our needs, both in the church and in our daily lives. But Jesus didn't just stop there with that question and let it fly. He called them out. In verse 26, he answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Jesus was saying to the people, you ate your fill, but I want to give you more. There is more than just a physical world. There is an eternal world that I am eager to give you to enjoy. And Jesus has that same message for us today. I do think it is a church's job to meet physical needs, if possible. And our church, being part of this church, is a blessing and a privilege to be able to provide things like snacks and coffee and childcare and all the other wonderful things that we enjoy. And our church does an amazing job at meeting the physical needs of our congregation, and that's thanks to the giving hearts that we have here. But there is so much more that God longs to open our eyes to see. Jesus was longing for the crowds to see that there is a spiritual side to life. He was meeting physical needs so that he could open their hearts to the spiritual needs. I want to say that again. Jesus met physical needs so that he could open hearts to the spiritual side of things. In our world right now, there are thousands of religions. There are spiritual people and practices all over the media. Things like psychics and mediums and tarot card readings and New Age and cults. Why is that? It is because human beings were created to have a soul connection with God. And when we feel that our spiritual needs are not met, we create ways to fill those needs. All these options around the world claim to have a way to meet this spiritual, soul-to-soul longing within each of us. These options, these religions, or whatever we want to call them, can never fully meet the longing that God created in each human heart. Jesus knew that. I think those people that had experienced this need for hunger met by Jesus's miracle began to notice that inner need too. I think Jesus' talk of eternal life caused a stirring in their souls. And in verse 28, they asked him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" So here they are with this stirring within their souls, and their first responses go to the human response. What can I do to earn my place with God? What must we do? As humans, we always think we can earn things. With our parents, we're looking for their approval. Maybe if I get good grades, or maybe if I make the best decisions, they will approve of me. Even as an almost 40-year-old child, I am still looking for the approval of my parents. We're looking for approval from our coworkers. Maybe if we dress a certain way or drive a certain vehicle, then we'll be in with them. We even look for approval from our spouses. If I give a gift or if I spend this quality time together, they will love me more. Jesus knew that it was never about earning anything. It was only about connecting with God. His answer in verse 29 was, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That's it. Believe. You cannot earn your way into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." It is that simple. Believe. This was part of the midnight discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus. He said, "Whoever believes in me has eternal life." Jesus wasn't talking about food or water. What he was talking about was those deep longings of our heart that only he can satisfy. So, what does this mean for us today? There are a few takeaways that I'd like you to remember. First of all, we can trust that Jesus knows us completely and knows our physical needs. Jesus saw the crowds and he had great compassion on them. He knew they were people with many, many needs, and he worked for 3.5 years meeting the physical needs of people. If he did that back then, he is still doing it today. Trust that he is God of miracles and that he can meet whatever comes our way. I wrote this sermon a few weeks ago before this pandemic was reaching our borders. And to say trust seems a little more difficult now. At a time like this, what we are experiencing in our world is not easy, and it seems as though it's never going to end. Trials that come our way now are all seen through this light of fear. And trust seems like the wrong word to say. But I have repeated that word to myself many times over in the last week. And it is not easy. One thing that does bring me great comfort, and it helps me to remember that my God can do anything, is searching the Bible for the different names that are used to describe God. One example that has encouraged me in the past is from Genesis chapter 16. It's the story of Hagar. Hagar was a servant of Sarah, who was the wife of Abraham. And God had promised Sarah and Abraham a son, but his promise came when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. How in the world was this going to happen? And so Sarah took it upon herself to figure out a way, and she said, "Here, Abraham, have my servant. Maybe she can conceive a son, and that's how God's plan will be worked out." Well, Hagar did conceive a son. But after the fact, Sarah was bitter, and she hated Hagar because of that son. And because of this hatred, she cast her out and said, "You are not part of this family anymore." Hagar was literally dying in the desert, ready to starve to death, when she called out to God. And the name she used for him in her prayer was "the God who sees." Her need was an insurmountable need. She had no family, no food, no one to provide. But the God who sees saw her and heard her and provided for her. Know tonight that God sees you. Trust in him. We sang earlier, even when we can't see him, he is working. Trust in him. He never stops working. Trust in him. Next, we can believe that Jesus can fulfill that longing in our hearts. Not only can he, but he wants to. He wants to give us life to the fullest. Remember the whole purpose of the book of John. In John 20, 31, it says, "These are written so that you might have life, abundant life, full life, beautiful life, eternal life." Now, I know some of us are asking, yeah, what does abundant life look like right now at a time like this? I recently have seen on social media different videos of communities in Italy that are opening their windows and singing together. Even though they can't be close to each other, they're coming together and singing. And they've sang a lot of songs, but I saw one that was a community singing, "Cuán grande es Dios," how great is our God. That is living life abundantly. There is joy in darkness because God's love and God's light shine in the darkness. Jesus can fulfill the longing in our hearts. Finally, come to him and be filled. "Whoever comes to me shall not hunger." You can be filled in your spirit tonight. This is not about physical needs, although those do seem truly great right now. but look at your heart. What is next for you with Jesus? For those people so long ago, there was more beyond the hunger they were feeling. It was the longing of their souls that Jesus wanted to meet. And that is still his desire for us today, to meet the longing of our souls. But first, we need to step out in faith and believe. He said to them, and he is saying it for us right now, I can give you more bread of life that will satisfy every longing. Maybe your first step tonight is to step out and believe. If you have never said, Jesus, I believe in you, you can tell him that right now in your heart. Whisper a prayer, Jesus, I believe in you. And if you do whisper a prayer of faith tonight, be sure to tell someone so that you can grow in that faith and come to fullness in Jesus. For others, our next step might be to dig deeper. If you have already said, Jesus, I believe in you, but it has never gone any further than that, and you are living life unfulfilled, it is time for you to join a life group or attend a class on a Wednesday evening. Get connected with people who can help you grow in your commitment to Jesus. There are life groups still happening in our church right now, digital meetings. Get connected. Another step might be committing to reading your Bible every single day. I am part of a Facebook group that has committed to reading the Bible through in 1 year. And it's not too late for you to start. Jump in and grow. There are many ways to deepen our faith and our hope in Jesus. Perhaps it's learning how to pray or just asking God to give you a deeper wisdom and understanding of his word. In Proverbs 2, the author writes, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you will call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you will seek it like silver and search for it as if for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is a proverb with a promise. If you will seek him, then he will answer. Wherever you are is between you and Jesus. Only you know the next step that God is asking you to take to move from the physical to the spiritual. But know that he is longing to take you closer and to meet those deepest longings of your heart, even in these times of trial and uncertainty. Trust in him. Believe in him and come to him. He will be the bread of life for you. Whoever comes to him will not hunger, and whoever comes to him will never thirst. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word and for the promises that you have given. I thank you, Jesus, that you have said you will be the bread of life for us. And that means that we can come to you. You can meet not only our physical needs, but our spiritual needs as well. Lord, I lift up all those tonight who are hearing this word from John. And I pray that you would show them what is their next step in faith to take. God, you are an amazing God, and we put our trust in you tonight. In Jesus' name.